Welcome to Operation Cobra Podcast, a podcast dedicated to ABC's Once Upon a Time. My name is Rebecca, and for this episode, I am joined by my good friend and friend of the podcast, Tina, to talk about the season three episode called Witch Hunt. Welcome back to the podcast, Tina.
Hey, happy to be back.
Since we normally start talking about episode titles, which witch do you think was being hunted in Witch Hunt?
As all good titles, it could be both, right? Thinking about witch hunts, though, the easiest thing for me to think about is the Salem witch trials and the way so many witches were kind of unjustifiably hunted and treated, tried and sentenced. And so in that case, I think the scene inside the courthouse when Emma and Regina started colluding to watch all of the townspeople in Storybrooke turn on Regina, I think that was definitely very Salem trial witch hunt-esque. And so in that case, I think they were unjustly at the time hunting Regina.
I like that. I think both of them, you know, the evil queen being a witch and the Wicked Witch of the West being a witch, I definitely think both of them were sort of being hunted because they, even Robin and Regina were trying to get inside the castle to find the Wicked Witch. So they were sort of hunting her. But I like what you're referring to with the Salem witch trials and how they were sort of putting Regina on trial in the town hall. I like that a lot. And since we're talking about the witches, what did you think about the Wicked Witch of the West going through Regina's things in her castle at the very beginning of the episode?
Oh, that was fun. Because the one thing that jumped out to me, and this is kind of later on after she had put everything on, but I loved her her quote about, oh, I had to take it in a little at the hips when she had her dress on. That one cracked me up. But I thought it was very, you know, after knowing the end and all of the, you know, the connection of the sisters and all of that kind of stuff, it was obviously very envious of her running through all of her things. And, oh, I can, you know, I can wear it better and these should be my things and all of that kind of stuff. That it did seem like there must have been some level of, to go through somebody's things like that, you really have to dislike them. And you really have to want to have it out for them. So from the beginning, you felt like there must be this connection between the Wicked Witch of the West and Regina. And so then for Regina to turn around and tell Snow White and Robin Hood that she didn't have a personal vendetta or had never met the Wicked Witch before, it was a weird moment to try and figure out if Regina was lying or what exactly was going on there, that obviously the Wicked Witch had it out so much for Regina to go through all of her personal things like that and throw all of, you know, discard half of her closet as if it wasn't worthy of being, you know, worn and all of that. It was pretty hysterical. And of course, I, for one, love all of the Regina outfits, especially in fairy tale land. So any chance we get to see more and more of those, I think they have some really great, really great get ups for her.
Yeah. We've actually seen that dress before that the Wicked Witch put on. And yeah, I think it's funny that you mentioned that Regina maybe didn't have a personal vendetta against the Wicked Witch. The Wicked Witch definitely had a personal vendetta against her. One of my favorite moments of that scene is when she looks at the flying monkey and she's like, yes, I know I look lovely. Like, that kind of cracked me out because I thought, does she speak like Flying Monkey? Does she know what he's talking, like he's saying to her? I thought that was really funny. And she went through Regina's jewels and everything that were on her table. She was very meticulous about what she looked at. And while she's in the castle, everybody else that has been transported back to the Enchanted Forest is outside the castle trying to figure out who's in there. So right. What did you think about the people outside of the castle trying to get all their knowledge together about the Wicked Witch? Like, Belle talks about how she's read about Oz, and they're trying to figure out if she's the Wicked Witch of the East or the West. And they kind of come up with a plan to attack the castle. What did you think about all that?
I thought it was interesting how many of them had never heard of this place called Oz or the Wicked Witch of the West, but and it seemed to fit well that, okay, Belle would have read about this and all of that kind of stuff. But then Grumpy came back very fast with this, you know, well, you throw water on one and drop a house on the other. So obviously he had a little bit of history. But then the one piece that was interesting, and I guess we know because Regina was planning to put together the sleeping couch, but her insistence that she go in alone without any help I think it's so interesting to watch the level of depression that she kind of sinks to now that she knows what's happened with Henry. I think there have been a lot of chances where we get to see Regina, the quote-unquote good witch, and not really good in her witching, I guess, but more as a good person. And that's so often through how she feels about Henry. I mean, we've seen it several other times, but to watch this level of just absolute loss, it's hard. And then at the same time, it's kind of welcoming to watch that because you really get to see her more as a person. But I thought that was very strange to see her want like that, such a level of insistence that she was going to go into that castle by herself and put that fire out. At first I thought maybe it was just to show off her power, you know, no, I don't need any of you. So it was an interesting turn for me when it turned out that she was really more interested in ending her own pain.
Yes, by putting herself into a sleeping curse.
Yes.
That was pretty hardcore. And it was interesting because she has put other people in sleeping curses. So mm-hmm. for her, she's actually, I think Regina and Emma have never been in sleeping curses, but Snow and Charming and Henry have. So
yes.
I sort of wondered if, though, even though we see that Regina kind of goes in there with the intent to put herself into the sleeping curse and the Wicked Witch kind of takes it from her, I still wondered if we would actually see her go into a sleeping curse. Because she says something about how the curse can be broken by the only true love in her life.
Right.
And the only reason she would want to wake her son
is for him.
Yeah.
And I loved that dialogue that she had, or that monologue, I guess, that she had of going on and on about, I mean, that's truly the level of loss that I think she's feeling, that she didn't, at that point, didn't care to go another day, minute, experience anything without him. So what was the point? She would just, you know, either sleep forever or sleep until he got there. It didn't make a difference to her. There wasn't anything else in life that was really worth living for, which I think made it all the more fun when, you know, she found out about this Wicked Witch sister. And she said that was just what she needed, was something yeah. to live for. And then to watch that, I mean, gosh, the acting in Lana to go from that level of depression to that level of excitement so quickly and just turn on a dime like that. It was incredible. And it was literally the two very opposite sides of the evil queen right there within, you know, just minutes of each other.
Yeah. All she really needed was a purpose.
Now
she didn't really have a purpose walking around with Snow and Charlie.
Right, that's right. I did think the other piece that stood out to me in that whole kind of series of events, when she made the sleeping curse and she had the spinning needle with the curse on it, and she turned around and she looked at Robin Hood and she said, "Don't worry, I'm going to put the fire out first so that we can break the shield so that Snow and Charming can come in here and be heroes." And I thought, as many times as we've seen her act selfishly and that, it really was a yes, I want to do this for myself, but I'm going to act on behalf of the others first. She didn't have to do that. She could have put herself in a sleeping curse right there. It never would have mattered. And I think that speaks to the true character of whether she be Regina or the Evil Queen or whoever. That speaks to her true character more than any of these other scenarios.
Yeah.
There was nothing to benefit her in that at all.
Yeah, she stayed true to her word. She told him that she would do it and that she'd go in there
right.
and get it done. And she did. And she says something, to go back to the sleeping curse, she has another bit of dialogue that she says, "Maybe one day Yule," talking about Henry, "will find me and wake me up." And I wondered if, it sort of got me thinking that somehow, you know, they go in this episode to try to figure out who cast this new curse so that they could figure out what happened to them, because they don't remember anything and nobody can figure
right.
out how to get their memories back. And even Regina in this episode tries to replicate the potion that Hook brought to mm-hmm. Emma, and she fails. And I
right.
sort of wondered if there's some sort of connection with the fact that Henry doesn't remember, right along with the residents of Storybrooke, even though they don't remember
right.
the last year of their lives. But he doesn't remember anything about any of them. So he has a little
right.
bit more of an amnesia occurrence than they do. But it sort of just got me wondering, like, when Regina says, "You'll wake me up," that made me wonder if Henry needs to wake Storybrooke Regina up.
Yeah.
Maybe not the Regina that's in fairy tale land wanting to put herself in a sleeping curse, but maybe wake Regina up in Storybrooke. And I sort of wondered if the whole town, since they have no way to get their memories back, are they dependent on Henry getting his memories
back?
Henry
remembering. Yeah. Well, and you could see, you could see a little bit when they were in New York and Hook came, and obviously Emma remembered because she drank the potion, but I felt like even before that, and now we're going back into last week's episode, but even before that, when they were in the park together and he was talking to her about all of these things, she went from blowing him off in the restaurant of "this is ridiculous, you know, it's whatever," to, I think right before the police showed up in Central Park, she was really starting to wonder if this held water. I mean, there were a couple of things that he said to her that just kind of seemed to sit with her, like, wait, maybe that is true. And so maybe in the case of Henry and Emma, they lost their memory through a different spell that Regina cast, as opposed to whatever this new spell is that's affecting Storybrooke, that maybe it's weaker to the power of suggestion, that if they start letting Henry know what's going on, maybe he will start to remember some things.
Well, that's a good point, because I was going to ask you, what do you think about the fact that everyone is lying to him?
Keeping like him in the dark?
Everyone. Emma, Snow, yeah. Charming, Ruby, Regina, everybody is kind of being really sensitive about him knowing anything.
There's a part that it's definitely very protective in, you know, from a parent, somebody who cares about a child kind of standpoint of, we don't want to impart this on you. You know, just like you would protect them from other bad news, right? You know, parents find out they're going to move, they're not going to tell their kids because they don't want them to be worried about it, something like that. So I think it's their reaction, or their kind of gut, we're going to do what's right for him and not confuse him about all of this because of the confusion and pain and all of that that it may cause him. But it could be that that's the key to it right there, that, you know, he does have the heart of the truest believer, and no spell would have, you know, the spell didn't do away with that. So just talking to him, forget about, you know, whatever spell would have impacted on other people, he has the heart of the truest believer, and he will believe what they start to tell him, because it's the truth and it's an innate part of him.
I really don't like that they're all lying to him. I kind of just want to be like, maybe if you just tell him, like you were just saying, maybe if they tell him, he will start to believe, because when we met Henry in the pilot, he already kind of figured it out. You know, he was the one who was trying to get everybody else to believe what was going on in Storybrooke. So I really would like someone to be truthful to him, because I get, you know, wanting to protect him and wanting to keep his happy memories from his life in New York from the past year. That's fine and well and good. But they are all lying to him, like everybody. Yeah. And the one scene that I thought was especially interesting in terms of what I think will happen is that Henry is sitting with Mary Margaret at Granny's, and he's playing a video game and just kind of sort of ignoring her, but sort of still listening at the same time. But she mentions the library to him and mentions, "Hey, your mom," of course, she's sort of lying because she knew it already instead of Emma having to tell her. But she mentions that, you know, "Henry, I know you like to read. Do you want to go to the library?" And so for me, I have been wondering if, because this show loves its parallels and its kind of throwback visuals, I've started to wonder if Henry will remember because he has a connection to his book.
Yep, that's what I was hoping when she took him to the library that the book would make an appearance. And then I was disappointed when they were back at the apartment and he made reference to obviously having been there. It was like, oh, well, I guess we missed that.
Yeah. Yeah. let's have a nice big moment with the book. Cause you know, at the end of season one, when Emma finally really believes everything, she has a moment with the book where she kind of looks at it and she believes in magic, and all of her little memories from being a baby kind of come through and she believes everything. And so I wondered if they would have Henry have a moment with the book, like Emma had a moment with the book. So I don't know. I really think that there is a reason that Henry didn't get the memory potion. Because right. there's got to be something about maybe he was kept from getting the potion so he wouldn't remember, so he wouldn't wake up the rest of the people in Storybrooke. I don't know. That's my theory, but I don't know if that will come true. Since we're talking about Henry, the other big moment with Henry in terms of people lying to him and him not knowing anything was when Regina comes over to Snow and Charming's place. What did you think about her kind of reintroduction to Henry? Since we were talking about how painful it was for her in Fairy Tale Land, that she was so heartbroken that she wanted to put herself in a sleeping curse, and now she's seeing him again for the first time. What did you think about all that?
Oh my gosh, it was so. There was a part of me that was hoping it would culminate in, and it did, but not to the level that I was hoping. I was hoping it would culminate into this big moment with Emma and Regina, because it was so obviously so hard for Regina, and now you see where it seemed like the last couple, well, at least the last two seasons, it was this battle between Emma and Regina for Henry's love and affection and attention, as if it had to be one or the other. And now you kind of see them working together to help Regina develop a relationship with him. I think Emma knew how hard that was. I mean, especially after everything happened where Henry realized that Emma had lied to him about his dad, and Henry kind of shut Emma out for a little while. She's been through that. Obviously, it's a much more exaggerated situation with Regina, and that he just doesn't have a memory of her. But watching Emma kind of, it's like she was worried if Regina was okay, you know, after he walked away, and she's like, you know, were you okay? Was it too much? Was it, I mean, we watched her kind of taking care of Regina. And I thought that was really powerful. Their partnership is not just in mothering Henry like it was in Neverland, and it's not just in bringing their memories back like it is today. I mean, I think they have more of a partnership and bond at this point than anybody else in the show, which who would have thought that that would have developed?
Yeah, they've sort of become friends, and Emma was concerned about her. So, yeah, it's definitely a different take on their relationship, as it were.
They are the ultimate frenemies.
Yes. And for me, I thought it was really interesting that the very first time that Regina sees Henry is at Granny's, and she like drops a plate or something. She's so freaked out about it that she breaks something, and she sort of froze in that moment. And like you were talking about, Emma had to go over there and be like, okay, I know you're freaked out, but let's go and have a talk. So I'm kind of confused, though, about the Regina Henry stuff, because I thought at the end of Going Home, when she protected them from the new curse that Peter Pan had unleashed on Storybrooke, her price that she had to pay within that curse was that she couldn't be around Henry. And so now here she is in Storybrooke, even though he doesn't remember her, she's still able to be around him. So I'm a little confused about how that works. But even though their introduction at the Charming's house was kind of awkward, I thought it was good. You know, she mentions, hey, I'll take you around a tour of Storybrooke and maybe we can get ice cream. Like, that was a good start.
Right.
Even though it was awkward and they shook hands instead of hugging or something. it was at least a good start. And I still don't like that they're lying to him, but at least they are sort of introducing themselves. And when Henry inevitably gets his memories back, he'll remember them and everything will be fine.
Well, and I do wonder for Regina if, you know, the outcome of the first, well, of the most recent curse at the end of the winter, that she wouldn't be around Henry anymore, and she would know that he did not know who she was. And that was obviously very painful for her. The situation she's in now is really the result of a whole new curse. And I really think for Regina, it's probably worse. So to not see him and have the knowledge of he doesn't know who I am and I have all of these memories with him has got to be retrospectively so much less painful than having to run into him now on a daily basis, knowing that he doesn't know who she is.
Right.
And to have to face that. So it's like, she was, you know, she paid the price for her curse, and now she's being the recipient of a curse, which is making things even worse for her. It's like, I think she'd probably be happy to go back to fairy tale land, where at least she didn't, you know, if she wasn't going to remember who she was, at least she didn't have to see him.
Yeah, it's much worse for her in Storybrooke. And I wonder if that is part of the Wicked Witch's plan, because I believe that she is the one who cast this curse.
Yeah.
So, and it seems like when they had their little standoff, if you will, in the Enchanted Forest at the castle, the Wicked Witch wants her to suffer and wants her to be in pain, but she's like, killing you would be too easy. So I think maybe part of the curse for the Wicked Witch is she wants Regina to have that suffering with Henry. So that can be part of it. And maybe that's why he didn't get part of the potion. I don't know. So we've been talking a little bit about Emma and Regina, and in this episode, they sort of teamed up to work together to kind of figure out who cast the curse. What did you think about them having that whole mysterious plan that they had?
The partnership? Yeah, I thought that was a lot of fun. They really duped everybody.
Including me.
Oh. When she walked in.
I was, because of the way the show has been written lately, I would not have been surprised that Emma went back to season one status and was, Regina, you can't come near my son because you're obviously evil. Like, I would have bought that just because of the way the show has regressed itself. But when it turned out that they were actually working together and had planned that whole thing in the town hall, I was like, oh, okay, this is good. I like this.
Right. No, it was a lot of fun. I actually watched the episode twice, but there was one scene that I probably watched three or four times because I just enjoyed it so much, when they were working on the potion and they continue to go back into Emma and her superpower. And
which doesn't seem to work all that much.
I know. And then at one point, but they kind of, it was almost like they just threw up their hands and they were like, yeah, we know that it's unbelievable at this point. And when Emma said, look, regardless of whether or not my superpower works on anybody else in this town, I always know when you're lying or telling the truth. And Regina said, you know, well, how do you know this is not just some big ploy that I'm faking it all just so that I can get him close? And she's like, no, you know, I always know you're telling the truth. And Regina said, even though, you know, I can't live without him. And with Emma's reaction of, there you go, telling the truth again. And Regina just about, it's like, now it's not just in her head. She's getting that confirmation that, yes, that's how she feels. It's almost like hearing your own feelings said out loud is so much more intense. That I enjoyed that scene so much, that back and forth of, you know what, they communicate only the way that, you know, I would imagine two mothers of the same child could, you know, I mean, that they are bound at the gut because of him now, and they're watching out for each other.
Even when they had their stakeout in the car in Emma's bug, they had a moment where Emma kind of explains why she came back to Storybrooke, and she said she could kind of hear Henry in her head saying, you know, a hero would go back. And Regina's like, yeah, he would say that. So they do have a really common connection where Henry is concerned, that kind of bonds them together. I really liked the scene in Granny's when Emma and Regina had their talk, because Regina's like, oh, you remember. That's weird that Henry doesn't, but you do. Like, she could tell. And and Emma kind of, you know, she was right to question her in that moment, to, you know, ask her if she had cast the curse. And I liked the line where Regina says, I cast curses to hurt other people, not myself. And I thought that's a pretty good defense of why you wouldn't do this, because that makes sense. And in the town hall, like, everybody really, you talk about, you know, a witch hunt, they all jumped on Regina. Like, everybody, even the good guys, Grumpy, Granny, Jiminy, Belle, they all really kind of turned on her very quickly. And she put on a show with the little earthquake. And I thought it was a mark of a turning point for her that she, because last time in season two, when the town kind of turned on her after the curse was broken, the first curse was broken, they all went after her, and she walked up into the town hall, and she was throwing fire.
Right,
trying to physically hurt them. And here she was. Yeah, she created a little earthquake, but nobody really got hurt.
Right.
So I thought that was marking her, you know, turn into being someone who's on more of the side of good.
She's trying so hard to make herself better. And I think that there's a part of her that's trying to do that for Henry. And I think she tried to do that once before. And, you know, she promised him she wouldn't use magic. And then it kind of turned out that she did. I think as she kind of struggles now, once she lost Henry, she had to not become better for him. She had to become better for herself.
Exactly.
And so I think we're starting to see so much more success for her in that, because she's doing it for the right reason. I mean, she's just becoming better because she wants to be a better person. And there's not anything more to it than that. And so I think that that's been interesting to see how different she reacts to things and how much more hurtful it is for her when the town turns on her like that. I mean, what kind of substance do you have to your character that now these people really hate you and you're still going to go out of your way to try and help figure out what the hell happened? You know, that says a lot right there about how much she has changed and what has happened between what happened in Neverland and then what happened, you know, now feeling so lost without Henry.
One of my favorite little moments of that scene in the town hall is after Regina does leave in the smoke, she makes herself disappear. It cuts over to Zelina, the Wicked Witch, in the town hall, and she's sort of smiling like, mm-hmm. they all think it was Regina. Like, she's pretty comfy in the fact that nobody knows her little secret as of yet. And
right.
I thought that was just a nice moment for her. And I think the actress who's playing her, Rebecca Mader, who I know from a lot of things, she was in The Devil Wears Prada, Meryl Streep fusses at her in that movie, and she played a villain on a TV show called No Ordinary Family. And of course, she was on Lost. She played Charlotte Staples Lewis, aka C.S. Lewis, on that show. And so she's a really great actress, and she's specifically very good at playing evil. And right. I really liked all of her little moments like that in the episode, that one in particular. And I really, as an editor, I really liked what's called a music stop. Regina says, "If you all want me to be the evil queen, then fine." And the music stops. And and then she has her little moment where she disappears. And it was just a nice little bit of editing there. I was a little worried about Regina in this episode because she kept saying things like, "I can't live without Henry, and I can't live in this town if Henry doesn't remember me." And if this was a show where writing and dialogue mattered, which I don't know if it does anymore.
Oh, wow.
I would be a little worried for Regina because, you know, anytime somebody says, like, "I can't live," that's
right.
That's basically death foreshadowing. But she was very, I think that pointed back to the drastic nature of how she couldn't live without Henry, and it was so hard for her.
And maybe there will be hope coming soon that will give, you know, just like when she got to her point of desperation to go into the Slytherin curse, all of a sudden there was the Wicked Witch of the West to give her something to live for. Now, it may not be long that Henry starts to remember she has something to live for yet again.
And maybe the lines about "I can't live without him" or whatever, maybe she does still go. I mean, I don't know. I just have this feeling like she's still going to go in a sleeping curse somehow, and that Henry will have to wake her up, whether it be metaphorically or physically. And, you know, they kind of reverse the situation from, you know, the end of season one where Henry kisses Regina to wake her up.
Right.
But I just kind of have this feeling like Regina's still. So if she says, "I can't live," well, that would sort of go with being put in a sleeping curse. And we kept seeing stuff about this blood magic that kept coming up between Regina and her castle and Regina and her, you know, mayor's office in Storybrooke, where she had a blood lock on her office and somebody still got in there. I'm assuming it's Zelina who got in there to bust up her magic potion stuff. What do you make of that whole blood magic, Regina and Zelina being sisters? Because the Wicked Witch tells her that, and we can assume because she kept getting in these places with the blood magic that only Regina could get in there. It does sort of make sense that they are related. But then last week we saw that the flying monkey had gotten some of Regina's blood. So do you think the Wicked Witch is telling the truth, or do you think she's lying?
Well, I think during the first scene in the crypt and the blood magic was used, and I went back and forth. I couldn't decide, you know, obviously she has an entrance to the crypt from her office, but then this time they went through an entrance to the castle, and there was a little bit of me that it was kind of fuzzy as to how many entrances are there and when it was the last time that she accessed them. You know, did she actually lock up the door?
Even Robin heard asked her, hey, are you sure you locked this?
And she's like, no, I know I did. But it's like, all right, there could have been other scenarios. I mean, it was weird in that Cora was in the crypt, so you wouldn't have expected she could get in. But I wasn't sure how many different ways, you know, entrances there were. But then when it happened in the office, it was like, okay, that's the only kind of legitimate piece that makes sense. I actually believe that the Wicked Witch is telling the truth only because it's going to be hard to come up with another scenario where the Wicked Witch has such a vendetta against the Evil Queen and the Evil Queen has never met her. Like, it's really hard to hate somebody that you've never met that much. And for her to be the older left behind sibling of this child that grew up as a princess to become a queen, all of that, absolutely, I could see that makes a very easy connection to, you know, that's why you're that pissed off. And so to have lost all of that, that gives her the vendetta that she's got. On the flip side, if that's not the reason, that was some pretty creative thinking on Zelina's part to come up with another reason why she was that mad. Like, I mean, that's just, it doesn't seem to line up any other way. So to me, when I process it, I do think that Zelina's telling the truth about that piece, that she really is Cora's daughter. And you could definitely see that fit Cora's profile, that she had a child that, you know, she needed to push aside because she needed to better herself and all of that kind of stuff. And so she just let the child go to make her future better. So I think it lines up and makes sense in a lot of directions that they really are sisters.
It also sort of makes sense, her story about how Zelina tells Regina, like, I was cast aside and you became the daughter she always wanted. And it sort of makes sense that Cora would have this daughter that she was like, no, I don't want this one. she kind of tosses her aside. And then everything we see with Regina, where she's sort of, where Cora's sort of abusive and really, you know, you've got to be this because a queen is this and you have to do all of this stuff and you have to be the queen. Like, she really put all of her effort into Regina because that other daughter didn't work out. So I sort of buy into it. I do think it's a little sketchy that the flying monkey had to get the blood. So I would actually kind of love it if the show was like, yeah, we know we make everybody related all the time. We're gonna act like we're making them related, but really we're not. We're just tricking you. Like, I would really love it if that was the case. Like, they were kind of pulling a con here. But I do think her story makes sense. It gives her motive. It makes sense as to how she knows Cora and Rumpelstiltskin. Like, those kinds of things. If you weren't really related, how would she know all of that stuff? Unless she was just going after Regina for some other reason and just did her research. But this begs the question, though, if they are related, who is Zelina's father? Because clearly they share the same mother.
I think it's Rumpel.
Why do you think that?
First, the skin tone. just it's like when I was trying to figure out, all right, where would the green have come from? He does kind of look scaly in his Rumpelstiltskin way.
Crocodile.
That's right. So the green led me there. And then he and Cora had this, I mean, how interesting would that be that he and Cora had this relationship where it was the closest thing to true love, probably for at least for Cora. And she chose to give that up. So that falls in parallel with she had this future she could have had with this man that she loved with a child. And she gave all of that up to go in another way. And no wonder the lady ripped out her own heart. Yeah. You know, and now, of course, she's going to be so insistent for Regina that she be perfect because in her mind, she had the perfect life and she chose to give it all up for this. So you sure better be, you know, you better prove to me that you're better than what that could have been. And nobody can live up to that kind of an unknown expectation. So that kind of plays into why Cora treated Regina the way that she did. I think that the way she's got him all caged up and things like that, I think there's a part of me that thinks that's what it is. And there's kind of a part of me that hopes that's what it is. I think that would be really interesting to now see, you know, the daughter of Rumple and the protege of Rumple. And now they're up against each other. You know, one is his by blood and one is his by favor. I think that could be really a very interesting twist for the show, but also for Rumple.
Yes, because I wonder if Rumple knows about her.
That's right.
We don't know their relationship other than she has him locked in a cage and he's kind of going crazy.
That's right. And knowing the loss that Rumple felt over Bane, and now I'm trying to get my lineage correct. He met Cora after he was Rumple, which means he'd already lost Bane. Do I have that right?
Yeah, he was the dark one, I think.
Because he was showing her how to spin straw into gold, right?
Yeah, because he already had magical abilities when he was teaching her magic. So he was the dark one by that point.
Okay, so with that precedent, if to see how, regardless of how deep he was into the dark one, that loss of Balfire was always what he was after, was finding him. And so I do believe that if he had another child and knew about it, things would have been very different for him. I don't think that he would have given up on a child twice, not knowingly. If she is his, I don't think he knows anything about it. I think she might.
Yeah, I think she definitely knows who her father is. So that will be interesting to see what their relationship will be in the coming episodes, because she tells him, you know, we have work to do. And I was like, what work are you doing? So she needs him for something she's trying to accomplish in Storybrooke. So even regardless if he is her father, she still needs him for something. So that would be really interesting, because that would make Zelina and Neil half brother and sister, and then also half sister with Regina. Yeah. And then Neil and Regina would be half brother and sister. I'm not really good with family trees, so this is a lot for me to think about. It's getting a little complicated.
And that's right. That's the other thing. I thought, oh my God, what does that do? Yeah, to the family tree, it's nuts.
So, and now that makes me kind of want to bring up the fact that everybody in Storybrooke is like, you know, Emma kept going, hey, where's Neil? Have you guys seen Neil?
Yeah.
And nobody kind of knows where he is. Like, Charming thinks that he went out with this group who went camping at, you know, in the woods or whatever. And there was this theory they throw out about, oh, well, maybe he was one of the people who had been taken and turned into a flying monkey. So where do you think Neil is? We've seen Rumple, and we saw Belle and Neil in Fairy Tale Land, but we haven't seen Neil in Storybrooke.
I'm curious where Rumple showed up. So at what point, you know, was it that after Rumple killed Pan and himself, did he somehow get thrown back into Fairy Tale Land, and then that's when Zelina found him?
Or did he go to Oz?
Yeah. You know, I can't imagine that he was, you know, dead the whole year they were gone and then miraculously came back when Zelina enacted the new curse. I think he probably had something to do with her being able to pull off this new curse, which makes me think that, yes, he got thrown back to another realm somewhere where she found him. And then that makes me wonder if Bane got word of it. And that was, you know, here you've got Balfire back in Fairy Tale Land, but without Emma and without Henry. So he has no family. If he got word that his dad was around and he went to find him, I wonder if he either got stuck back in another realm somewhere or if Zelina's got him too. I'm not sure that I think that Zelena's got him. I mean, I don't think that he's necessarily in Storybrooke. I think he might be stuck somewhere else.
Yeah, we know that people, from the example of Little John, which was a really cool scene in the hospital when he transforms into a
flying monkey. Yeah, turned into the, yeah.
We have that example that people do get transformed. So, I mean, it is possible that that did happen to Neil, but I think if that had happened to Neil, we would have seen it. So yeah. I am in agreement with you that I think something happened to where he is stuck somewhere, either in the Enchanted Forest or maybe he went to Oz looking for his father. And
right.
Because Belle is in Storybrooke. So if Belle and Neil went on some little journey in the Enchanted Forest, somehow Belle got roped into this new curse and he didn't.
Right.
So he must have gone off on his own somehow. So I'm really interested in finding out where he is. And we sort of glossed over this. And so I want to come back to it because I know you love Snow White and Prince Charming. Mm-hmm. And I was going to ask you, what do you think about her being pregnant?
Well, it was funny. Somebody said something to me very practically today that, of course, she's pregnant because Jennifer Goodwin is.
Right.
And I was like, yeah, that's fair. But how else would you get that written into the storyline in 2 months? So I thought that was kind of funny. But from a story perspective, we knew that Snow in Neverland said that when she got back to Storybrooke, she wanted to have a family. So we knew that desire was already there. The fact that they got thrown back into Fairy Tale Land and things were not kind of what they desired. Okay, well, things weren't what they wanted it to be when they conceived Emma either. I mean, that was very spelled out in a scene where Snow said, you know, there's never going to be a good time to do this. Let's make our own happy ending with a baby. So you could very well see them fall into that same pattern again. So I guess her being pregnant was not a surprise to me. I mean, I wasn't looking for it to happen, but it didn't shock me. The whole scene with Zelena when she was reading through the baby book and offering to be the midwife and all of that kind of stuff.
So creepy.
And I think there's a lot of parallels between now being after the baby of Snow and Prince Charming again. I wonder if this is yet another savior, that Emma was the only one that could break the first curse. And maybe it's going to be that this baby is the only one that can break the second curse. And that's why Zelena's trying to inject herself into this situation so that she can take the baby.
Ah, I like that. I hadn't thought about that, but I think you're right. She goes up to her and she says, oh yeah, I was a midwife in the Enchanted Forest.
Yeah.
And that's so convenient to tell pregnant Snow White, you know, your position as a midwife, because then you can put yourself in the midst of her situation and be around her all the time.
Right.
It was so creepy the way Zelena, like, touched Snow White's stuff. I was like, no, yeah. Don't let her touch you. Don't let her touch you. It's creepy. And one of my favorite, moments of dialogue was Mary Margaret says, who are you back in our land? And Zelena says, no one you'd remember. And I was like, literally, you do not remember.
No one.
You literally don't remember. But yeah, I think that's very possible that maybe there's something special about this new baby that Zelena knows about it and she wants to stomp it out. Is that an offensive way to say that? To get rid of the baby, because maybe the baby will ruin her plans.
Right.
But I just think it's so awkward because the last thing that Snow remembers is Emma and Henry driving over the town line and Regina casting her spell. And then everything went black. And the next thing they knew, they were waking up in their beds like every other morning in Storybrooke. And I just thought, how awkward would that be? The last thing, you just wake up pregnant. It's like, what just happened? I
tell you what. After having two kids, if I could wake up one morning and have missed the first 8.5 months of that might be all right.
You might be okay with
that. I might be all right.
I was just like, that has got to be weird for her. Maybe she's cool with it. Maybe that makes it easier.
Well, I figure, you know, she did all that preparation. It is kind of a funny time in that she did all of that preparation for Emma when she was pregnant before. And it's literally like waking up where she left off. She went through the whole pregnancy with Emma and then lost, you know, had to let right. the baby go as soon as it was born. Now she's missed the whole pregnancy prep part, but hopefully we will see her get to enjoy some time with a newborn. So it really is like picking up, you know, she will have one total childbearing experience at some point.
That is true. Well, we didn't talk a great deal about Regina and Robin Hood, so let's hit them real quick.
Yeah,
What did you think about their little adventure to get inside the castle?
So we know, and if I'm remembering this wrong, just edit me, but Robin Hood was her true love that Tinkerbell found, right?
Yes, he's the man with the lion tattoo.
That's what I thought. And so obviously she would be remember. I'm sure that, well, she saw only the tattoo, not him, right?
So right. She doesn't.
She may not be making that connection yet.
I don't think she has, because they haven't shown a moment where she sees that tattoo. I think he's been wearing gloves and stuff, because it's clearly cold in Vancouver where they shot this at this point. So he's wearing gloves. So I don't think she's seen that he is that man yet.
Well, I think that it is so interesting to watch him quickly falling for her because of the way that she saved his child, which is so close to the way that she met Snow's father, in that it was this selfless act of, let me save the child, and then now she's got a romantic interest. That I thought that was really interesting, the connection there with her unintentional courting, I suppose, in saving these young children.
Well, and the difference there is, I don't think she actually really loved King Leopold. I think she just did it so she could be queen. But
because her mother wanted her to.
And because Cora said, you need to do this.
Yeah.
But I do think that, you know, she could develop a romantic interest in Robin Hood. So there's a little difference there. But I do
That's
think
right.
you're right. They do have that similar connection of, she meets these men because she saves the kid. I think that's a cool thought.
But then I thought it was very playful, their kind of encounter. It is funny that she's giving him such a hard time for being a thief when she's the evil queen.
Yeah, she's killed lots of people. I think stealing something may be a lesser of two evils there.
Yes, exactly. It's the two criminals arguing over who is the lesser. So I thought that was funny. But at this point, he is obviously... I felt like he's obviously taken with her a bit, that he's caring about her, and that's why he wants to go with her. He feels maybe some sort of indebtedness to her because of the way that the way that she saved his little boy. And I think she's seeing him a little bit as a nuisance, but I think she's enjoying it. So it was a lot of playful flirtation, which was good. I think if she had not been so depressed over Henry, it could, you know, she might be able to realize the possibility there, but I'm just not sure that she's got her eyes open to anything else at that point in fairy tale land.
They were really open and honest with each other, which I thought was good if you're going to develop that into a romantic relationship.
Right.
You know, he talked about how, you know, Roland's mother, of course, you know, Maid Marian, died, and told Regina about his situation and how he blamed himself. And he was like, hey, don't kill yourself. This is not a good decision. He was trying to keep her from doing something drastic and something she would regret. And I think she was listening to him, but she was trying to act like it wasn't something she wanted to hear. So I think it was flirtatious and fun, but it was also open and honest, which I thought was also very, very good.
So it's definitely a setup for, I mean, to be that natural and that open and that honest at the very beginning. I mean, it's obviously setting things up for, you know, that's true love, right? I mean, that's what it is. This is your soulmate. This is who you're meant to be. And it's going to be like that from day one. That kind of went together with the fact that we know that he was out there for her and she hadn't found him yet.
Yeah. Was there anything else that you wanted to bring up that we hadn't?
No, I was hoping we'd hit the Robin Hood thing. That was what I kept having in the back of my head. So that's good. I'm glad I think that was the last one I had. One and the Rumpel-Zelina connection.
Well, with the status of Rumpel in the cage, I mean, it clearly looks like he's gone mad to some degree. He knows, I guess he kind of recognizes her. I don't know if he fully knows who she is. And she's got him in a cage kind of... out. It sort of looked like it was kind of out where nobody could get over there. So I wonder if anybody will find her house, you know, investigate her house, find that cage. Is she going to let him out? Like, I have a lot of these questions about what she's doing with him in the cage, what she needs him for. What right. does he know about her? Like, how did they meet up? Like, that's the story that I want to see is how did Zelina find Rumpel and how did she get him? Was he swept up in the same new curse as well?
I don't know why. I got the impression that he kind of knew, or at least he knew who he was. I mean, I guess he may not have known what happened in the last year, which is the only memory the rest of them lost. I did like the irony of putting him in a tornado shelter.
That is a good point. It was sort of down underground.
Yeah. I mean, they were like, oh, what is Storybrooke in Kansas now? And then they flipped to this little farm with the tornado shelter. And it was like, oh, that's pretty funny.
I had not even thought about that because tornadoes are kind of a big deal in the 1939 Wizard of Oz.
Yeah, well, the Wizard of Oz.
Even in some of the other Wizard of Oz adaptations that I've seen, tornadoes play a big part. I actually recently watched a sci-fi miniseries called Tin Man. It has Zooey Deschanel in it, and it was pretty good. I laughed about it a lot because the evil witch, they don't call her the Wicked Witch because she's really not the Wicked Witch, but the evil witch, like, she has these tattoos on her breasts, and the flying monkeys come out of the tattoos, and it's so funny, Tina. So it's so funny. But in that miniseries, tornadoes play a big part in how they actually transport somebody from Oz, or what they call the OZ, into our world. Okay. So the tornadoes are sort of like a transportation, like wormhole type things. So tornadoes actually do kind of play a part in a lot of the retellings of The Wizard of Oz. So I did not make that connection with the tornado shelter. Very cool. So I'm assuming we'll see more of, you know, the Wizard of Oz connections. But I've been loving the Wicked Witch so far. Real quick before we get into listener feedback, I've been updating the podcast when something in Once Upon a Time in Wonderland kind of comes up in regards to Once Upon a Time. So in the last episode called Dirty Little Secrets, there were a lot of things that had references to something that has happened in Once Upon a Time. So there's a little crossover in this episode. Cyrus gambles with a golden compass with magical properties that will point you to anything you've lost in your life and wish to find again. And it looked a lot like that compass that Emma had to get from the beanstalk in season 2 of Once Upon a Time. And Anastasia mentions that magical water flows underneath all of the lands. And so that made me think of August taking August / Pinocchio, taking Emma over to the well in Storybrooke and taking her out for a drink, and how that well had magical properties in the water. And the Jabberwocky that Jack, according to the season 2 episode called Tiny, the Jabberwocky that was defeated by Jack had been released in Wonderland. So we've gotten to see the Jabberwocky. And the Jabberwocky, I don't know, Tina, have you been watching Once Upon a Time in Wonderland?
I have, but I'm about 6 episodes behind.
Oh, man. The Jabberwocky is one of the greatest additions to the show. And I don't want to spoil it for you if you haven't seen it, but the Jabberwocky, A+. So it's been fun to see that. So there's actually that connection with Jack from the episode Tiny. And it's also, and I'm totally spoiling things for you with this, so cover your ears, but it's also implied that Anastasia is Cinderella's stepsister. So that's been really fun to have. Even Once Upon a Time in Wonderland plays with the family trees a little bit. So there have been some of those connections from Wonderland into Once Upon a Time. So that's been cool. And Wonderland's been really good. If you haven't been watching Wonderland, watch it.
I know. I might have. I gotta get it queued back up.
We have a few little bits of listener feedback real quick. We got an email from Alita, and this is going to be some family tree craziness. So
hang
on with me. I'm going to try to try to make it understandable because she has a theory about the family tree. She says, I wonder if Zelina really is Regina's sister, because in New York City Serenade, which was last week's episode, she had the monkey scratch Regina to get her blood and then put it in a bottle. She could have used the blood to open Regina's crypt, because there is a theory going around that Zelina is also going to be Snow's sister too, because the writers have said that two main characters are going to be related. The theory is that Cora and Snow's mother, Eva, are sisters. So Cora and Eva are sisters, making Regina and Snow first cousins, and that Cora had a relationship with Snow's father, King Leopold. And then from that, Cora and Leopold conceived Zelina, making Regina and Snow share a sister.
Whoa.
So the theory is that Cora gave her up because Cora did something to King Leopold to make him forget being with her, and Zelina somehow becomes green. And Alina says, I could get behind this theory, but I just can't see Snow's father abandoning his child since he was so devoted to Snow. Makes me think Cora didn't tell him or something happened to make him forget. So there's a lot of family tree theory in there. I do think it is an interesting theory that maybe Snow has this connection with Zelina, you know, even more so than what you were saying about the baby having some specialness to it, her or him, whatever the baby is. So there is some interesting stuff in there. I'm with Alina. I don't think King Leopold would just ditch a child. So I don't know that that part of the theory holds up.
But okay, so we know that Zelina is Regina's older sister.
Yes.
Because she told us that.
So she says.
Right. And we know that, I mean, when Regina, as far as the age difference between Regina and Snow, obviously Regina's older than Snow. Because, I mean, Snow was just a child when she met Regina, who was at least a teenager at the point.
Correct.
I mean, so if Zelina is the daughter of King Leopold, she obviously would have happened well before Snow was in the picture.
Yes.
So he wouldn't have necessarily had to give her up. Now, unless there was a reason that he forgot, he would have had to knowingly give up Zelina. And I don't know that you see him, you know, as devoted as he was to Snow, I don't know that you see him being any less devoted to another child.
Right.
But then you throw in the forgetfulness factor and maybe.
The only thing that I've read about the writers talking about the family tree was that they were going to add two new additions to the family tree, which if you think about it, they've already done that with Snow and Charming's new baby. And if Zelina is telling the truth, being Regina's sister. So they've already done it there. So they wouldn't have to go the extra mile and make Zelina and Snow sisters.
Right.
So
now I do like the idea of Zelina being green with envy.
Yeah. I sort of think that's how maybe she becomes green, because she did envy all of Regina's stuff.
Yes. And now I'm making connections to the old 1930s Wizard of Oz, but she has the kind of glass ball, and that's how she watches and sees what's going on. And you could really almost see her sitting back and just obsessively watching Regina, you know, riding on horses with her parents at her castle and all of this, and just getting greener and greener with envy as things go. So I could certainly see a lot of those connections, that maybe the green is not a birthright thing, but something she developed.
And maybe it's something that comes and goes, because we've seen in Storybrooke she isn't green. So why isn't she green in Storybrooke when she was in the Enchanted Forest?
And Rumpel's not scaly in Storybrooke either, though.
Oh, that's true. That's true. And like Jiminy turns into a real person. Yeah.
Yeah. So I don't know. I thought that was more just to be a human factor.
Yeah. I think envy and jealousy will probably have something to play in her green skin. And we do know, because of, you know, entertainment news, that the actor Eric Lang, who was also on Lost, so give it up to Lost fans, we'll get to see Radzinski again. He's going to play a younger Leopold. So there may be something to Alina's theory if they go back and show, you know, young Leopold and young Cora and young Eva. If they show us all of them, there may be some story there.
Interesting.
We also have a voicemail from Christy.
Hey, this is Christy with some feedback. I enjoyed Witch Hunt a lot more than I thought I would. I liked Snow and Regina teaming up. I liked Emma doing something. I loved seeing Rebecca Mader as the Wicked Witch of the West. And I wonder if she's Snow for a couple of reasons. One, obviously there's something with her baby, because this is also another product of true love. And Rumpel was supposed to get Emma, I think, or do something with Emma. So I want one part of it. And if the other part is that she knows that Snow killed Cora, and not that she's mad at Snow for killing Cora, but mad at Snow because she didn't get to make her mother suffer. For Dave, your thoughts on that, and please correct me if I'm wrong about the Rumpel Emma thing. Okay, can't wait to hear what you guys say. Bye.
So to address Christy's first thing, she talks about Rebecca Mader's performance, and I totally agree. She is fantastic. I was actually giggling every time she was on screen because, you know, Once Upon a Time has had villains on the show, but a lot of time, like, their big three villains, the Evil Queen, Rumpelstiltskin, and Captain Hook, they've pretty much redeemed them into good guys. So
yeah, I know, right? You needed somebody.
You need somebody who's going to be literally wicked to
right.
being bad and enjoying it. I mean, you had Pan doing it, but Pan kind of did it, you know, because it was a game to him. You know, it was just fun right. screwing with everybody. But Xelena seems to really want to make people suffer and make people pay for whatever it is that she thinks that she's owed. So it's been really fun to see her be evil and have evil looks and her doing bad things to other people. So that's been really fun to watch. So I can't wait to see more of her. Christy also mentioned Rumpel's connection to Emma. That was actually, he needed Snow and Charming's hairs to create the true love potion for creating that back door that the savior would break the first dark curse. So that's that connection. And Christy also mentions Xelena and Snow's interactions and wonders if it's because Xelena knows that Snow killed Cora. Do you think that's the case, Tina?
Huh. Yeah, and I got the feeling, and I'm trying to remember now, the interaction between Xelena and Regina when Regina told her about Rumpel dying. That seemed to be a surprise to Xelena. I'm not sure that she knew that yet. But I think she did at that point know that Cora was not around anymore.
She does. Regina does mention, they're not around anymore, talking about Cora and Rumpel. So maybe at that point, although I think Xelena sort of, at that given time, I think she already wanted to cast a new curse, but having that information, maybe somehow she figured out that Snow had a connection in the killing of Cora.
Yeah, I wondered if she wanted to go back and get revenge against everyone, and now here she finds out that 2/3 of the folks she wanted to hurt are gone. And so the next step is, if you don't feel vindicated, let's find somebody to take that out on. Absolutely taking that from the person who took that opportunity away from you, that absolutely, I think, makes sense. So, I think if she knows that Snow killed Cora and now she's going to come after her for that, I think that makes sense. I also think that there was such a big deal made earlier about the blackening of Snow's heart and that had happened because of what she had done. I think that we have seen Snow feel an awful lot of guilt for what she did. I'm not necessarily sure that we've seen her pay for it yet. And if Xelena's going to come back with a vendetta, every
magic,
we
want to
see
price.
The bad guys. That's exactly right. We want to see the bad guys pay for their crimes. We got to accept that the good guys will too. That I think that would also help to bring closure to that end of, you know, just because Snow's good doesn't mean she can get away with killing somebody, as much as you hate to see that.
I like your point about how if Xelena wanted to take something out on Cora and Rumpel and she couldn't because she thought both of them were dead, that she would go after, you know, the next best thing, which would be Snow. I think that's actually, if Xelena and Regina are sisters, that's a very Regina-like thing to do. Because Regina did that exact same thing when she felt like she couldn't go after her mother, who was actually the one. She knows that Cora was the one who killed Daniel because she saw it happen right in front of her face.
Yeah, that's right.
But she doesn't go after Cora because I guess her mother was so abusive that she didn't think that she could actually do something against her mother. Like she tried. She sent her to Wonderland, but, you know, there were things that she thought she couldn't do. So the next best thing is to go after that little helpless, defenseless girl who shared the secret. So that's actually something they would have in common if they were sisters. So, yeah, I don't know. It'll be interesting to see what Xelena wants with that baby.
Yeah.
It will be.
Part of me kind of hopes
creepy.
The baby's green. How
that
much fun would that be?
Would be weird.
Maybe good produces evil. You can take that in so many different directions.
It's got to be a product of true love. I mean,
That's right.
We can only take Snow at her word that it is Charming's baby, because they don't technically remember who.
Really, I was going to say, you can't even take Snow at her word. The only thing we know at this point, that's right. The only thing we know at this point is that's Snow's baby.
Yeah, she's carrying somebody's baby.
That's right.
Yeah, so looking forward to more baby developments on the way. We have a few tweets that I thought I would share. At Cass_33 wrote back to us, because last week, Christy and I had a discussion about the restaurant that Walsh and Emma met up in when Walsh was going to propose to her. The restaurant was called Austria, Ostria, and we kind of maybe thought that was a reference to Oz in a certain way. And Cass_33 wrote Osteria, which Christy thought it might have been, is in Italian is just a noun meaning a traditional old-fashioned bar/pub. So that was kind of a cool little bit of trivia there, that even that wasn't the restaurant's name. Osteria wasn't the restaurant's name. It could have been, because it means bar and pub. And it sort of looked like where they were. So thanks for that Italian trivia. And at CMC Murzua, I probably mispronounced that, CMURZUA, wrote a funny tweet, hashtagged it as rules of once, and said the first rule is that everybody's related. The second rule is all magic comes with a price. Third rule is that they always will find each other. And number four is daddy issues. So I was like, that's pretty much it. If you want to break Once Upon a Time down to four basic rules, that would be it. So thank you guys for those tweets. That was really fun this week. Tina, do you have any final thoughts about this episode?
No, just looking forward to the next one. I think it was, I'm so glad we're out of Neverland, and, you know, all of that, the dark, and man, it was even hard to just watch, but the, glad to back in Storybrooke, and as hard of a turn it was that it only took 30 seconds to bring everybody back together. I think it's kind of fun. I like the new storyline from this week, and I'm excited to see where they're headed with it.
Yeah, the quick turnaround time for that whole memory loss and the curse, I've expressed my dislike for that several times, but surprisingly enough, I really enjoyed this episode. I think it was mostly because of Rebecca Mader, because she's so good, and because the Zelina Regina stuff was fun. It was really fun to see them kind of going at each other in the castle.
Yeah.
And I really enjoyed seeing Emma being smart and using her skills as a bail bondswoman from her past, because I kind of gave Emma a hard time in the first half in that Neverland arc, because she started off really strong. She was being the leader, and she was, you know, going to get things done. And then Regina and Rumpel kind of took care of everything else, and she really didn't do much of anything. And so here she was saying, hey, let's pull a little bit of a con on these people so we can try to smoke out the perp. And I thought that was really smart, and I really enjoyed that. So I hope you get to see more of Emma doing some cool, proactive things. I'm still not crazy about everybody lying to Henry. I think that's a huge mistake. I don't like it. But overall, I really enjoyed this episode, and I'm really looking forward to finding out what Zelina wants with Rumpel and what work they have to do. So that's been really fun to watch. Well, that's going to do it for this episode of Operation Cobra Podcast. If you would like to leave us any feedback, you can post a comment at operationcobrapodcast.com. You can send us an email at operationcobrapodcast@gmail.com. You can call and leave us a voicemail at 678-744-7815. You can tweet and follow us on Twitter at @OpCobraPodcast, and you can rate us and write a review on iTunes. Thanks for coming back and talking with me about this episode, Tina, and thank you for sharing your thoughts.
Yep, thank you.